The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn, plan that wedding. Wedding, we want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Hello. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. Happy you're here. All the things.
So this is a fun episode from a listener, someone just like you. Well, maybe not just like you. I feel like everybody's individual. I feel like everybody's unique. But Lindsay is unique. Lindsay is fun.
Lindsay's a regular listener.
Yes.
Except that she has worked her way into our hearts and minds with a lot of communication across several mediums, which we're thrilled about.
We are thrilled about it. I mean, you all know that we've talked about this a lot. One of the joys of the pod for us is how we are able to interact with you, right? How a lot of our listeners, whether it be by email, sending us a question or writing us a review or DMing us on Instagram or just tagging us in a photo, hashtagging.
Becoming a patron.
Becoming a Patreon member.
A lot of times the Patreon and the review happen like on the same day.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, I love it. And so they go full in. And then we remember. And then it's like, oh, they're on our live. Oh, they're going to submit something for Yahweh. Oh, it's you. Yeah. So we love an enthusiastic listener, of course. And we love a quirky, enthusiastic, plucky, ready-to-go listener as well, and that's Lindsay. And so she's like an honorary little sister now.
She is.
Little sister of the pod.
Yeah. And Lindsay is also the first person. She was the first person to purchase the Big Wedding Planning Masterclass. Did you know that, Christy?
I knew she was one of the first, but I love that.
She's number one. I was like, oh my God, it's Lindsay. And I had already known of Lindsay, you know, obviously, because she engages with us. But this is what's interesting about Lindsay. I mean, there's probably a lot of interesting things about Lindsay. I really actually love Lindsay's Instagram. And this is why I was like, we just need to do an episode with her because she is funny AF.
But you said more than that when you pitched it to me. You were like, we need to do like an episode introducing her.
Yes.
With the like door open.
Yes.
You know how like some talk shows have like a sidekick, right? Like Johnny Carson, you know, whatever on the like
Johnny
couch.
Carson had Ed McMahon.
Yeah.
Conan O'Brien has on his podcast, he has Matt and he has Sona.
Yeah, where they're like not in all of it, but they're in some of it and their take on things is generally a little different than the hosts. And I think that's what we find so refreshing. And also that we can, you know, poke a little bit of fun, especially with Lindsay, because she opens the door for us to do that. So
we didn't, though. I don't think we did that much on this episode, but I plan on doing it because she's just fun. So Lindsay Liardi is not, as we are recording still, she is not yet engaged. She is not yet engaged to be married. And I know there's a lot of you listening that are also not yet engaged. The proposal hasn't happened. And we know this because over the years of doing this podcast, we hear from people like, I love your podcast. I'm not engaged yet, but I'm listening anyway because I want to get a head start, or I love weddings, or I know it's coming, or I'm helping my friend. But a lot of you know specifically that you're going to get engaged and you just kind of want to start planning because you know how much work it is, how much is entailed, how much goes into the production of a wedding.
Yeah. And the more we've heard, the less surprising it is to us. I think at first we were like, who's listening if they're not even engaged? Like, it's a wedding planning podcast, but we know the content is all over the map. And so there are some episodes that are, you know, pure entertainment in a way, or would be escapism for somebody that's just interested in weddings. But also more and more of you, especially in the past year, but you've been together for so long that like the wedding is inevitable. So the engagement, the actual proposal is not as big of a starting point as it used to be, kind of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, yeah, okay, we're not actually engaged, but we know we're going to get married in 2022. So yeah, we're looking at venues. It's not like a weird thing anymore.
Yeah.
People are together longer. They live together.
There's often a technicality, as you will hear with Lindsay's story. There's little things, but it's happening. And we keep waiting for her to like DM us and be like a picture, you know, of the ring, or, you know, it's done. So Lindsay is lovely. We know you're going to love her as much as we do. And we do plan on, you know, having Lindsay back on the pod. I don't know whether it's going to be a full episode or she's just going to join us for a couple of things. But I just feel, like you said, she's like our little sister now, too.
Yeah.
And I feel like her eyebrows are a mix between yours and mine. Oh. And I feel like she kind of looks like she could be related to both of us a little bit. Do you feel like that? She's just got a familiar face to me, Christy. Maybe if you and I had a baby.
Oh, the like face meshing software gives us Lindsay.
I don't know. I could be making that up.
I'm gonna look closer now.
Okay. All right. Well, here we go, everybody. Enjoy this episode with Lindsay. I hope you learned something. And if not, it's just a really cute, fun story. Her and her man, her boyfriend, her partner, her love. Here we go.
We took a trip to Colorado, you know, the COVID safe kind of trip where you, you know, take a drive and go out into nature and stay away from as many humans as possible. And when I came back from that trip, my friends were like, why didn't you get engaged? And all of them had thought this. I mean, I had no idea. I wasn't thinking that. One reason they may have thought that is because I was in this world. And I talk about it a lot, you know, so I don't know.
They just assumed like, oh, you're jumping the gun and you're already planning your own wedding. Ha, ha, ha. You're planning your wedding, but you're not engaged yet.
Yeah. I should have done a little interview with them and been like, why did you? Anyways. So after that, it did. I mean, it planted the seed in my head. I was like, oh, like my friends think I should be getting engaged. I mean, honestly, we do want to get married. We've been together for all of COVID in this little apartment, you know, and we should talk about it because COVID is creating all of these postponements. And I don't want like venues to book up for 2-3 years, whatever we get out of this. And then we were talking, everybody was talking about how it was going to be like the 20s again, and everybody was going to be partying and all this stuff. I mean, who the heck knows what's in the future, but, so I planned a like very nice outing with Brent, and I brought my notebook and like a series of where's this going questions. Oh. I knew where it was going. We've talked about it before. We knew we both wanted to get married. We know we want to
live together.
Yeah, we live together.
Okay, okay. So it's like things are lining up. You're not delusional about like your future.
Yeah, yeah. No, we talked about it before, but it's never like we set dates or, you know, just like setting goals for ourselves. And coming out of this strange time, it is kind of a time of reevaluation. People were pivoting their jobs. Obviously this is not that, but you know, just checking in. So,
but you had a notebook with questions written down for the check-in.
I don't think most people do that probably, but
Christy would.
I did.
I feel like it's not outside of the realm of possibility. At least I'd like have notes jotted down in my phone maybe.
I just wanted to hit all the points. You know, we had a drink, good food. It was honestly an amazing night. Arguably, you could call it a proposal technically. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
okay,
a business proposal. That's kind of how it feels a little bit, other than the nice dinner and stuff.
You should have had places where you'd sign, like, you agree that my necklace that my grandmother gave me is always going to be mine. You know, you can never have that. You agree that we will have 3 children minimum. You know,
it wasn't like that. More of a journal than a proposal. It was more like, we should talk about, like, when do you see yourself getting married? We're approaching, I'm 28 and he's something. No, I'm 27.
He's something.
Anyways, you know, we're like, you know, so.
Wait, so what was his reaction to this, you know, taking out of the notebook and these serious talk? Was he fully like, all right, let's do this? Or was he like, Lindsay, what are you doing now?
You know, we can't be sure because Brent is incredibly introverted. But I would say he was not surprised. And I think he kind of, I'd been working on this other book previous to this. It's called like The 100 Questions Before You Get Engaged. It's like a book of 100 questions to go over with your partner before you kind of take that next step.
So you guys just do that when you're hanging out in the living room? Like, let's grab the book.
When he was driving, like when we would take a drive somewhere, his parents live like 45 minutes. So typically then, I would take out the book and I would just like try to like sneak in a few questions, you know, in casual conversation.
Perfect.
So I feel like this wasn't out of the realm of possibilities of asking these types of questions.
I love it.
But it was a little bit of a light bulb moment. I mean, I don't want to speak for him, but I feel like for him, because he was like, oh yeah, like that's not that far away that we're going to be, you know, approaching that age that you might want to take the next step. And then he had all kinds of opinions. October 2022, he was like, that is when I want to get engaged. It will be our 6-year anniversary. I want to get married on that Saturday. And I was like,
that is when he wants to get married.
Yeah.
Oh, you said engaged.
Oh, sorry.
No. Okay. That's when he wants to get married. Oh, so you guys
have at this point currently kind of set a date, a wedding date.
Well, it's complicated, right? Because, I mean, there's venues involved and the availability. And I said to him when he decided he picked this date, which for me personally, we all have our own priorities. We did the priorities exercise from the masterclass.
Yay!
And for him, he had this date in mind. For me, not as much. I mean, dates are nice, but I think I would prioritize a venue over that. And if a venue didn't have that date, which one of the venues we're considering doesn't, that's not a deal breaker for me. Mm-hmm. So that's when things got really serious. When he had a date picked out, I was like, if you want a specific date, we need to start planning. Like, that's not that far away. Like, people feel like it's far away, but right now that's 17 months from now.
Not in wedding. Yeah, exactly. It's not that far away in wedding planning years.
Do either of you feel awkward or not about wedding planning prior to an official engagement?
I don't feel weird about, I mean.
I don't think you should. I just was wondering if at any point has he thought to himself, like, I might want to jump up, hurry up on this so that's just not like a speed bump or a question or a weird thing anymore.
I feel like in our own home with our own families, it's not weird. But
we're talking about it like when we get married.
Yeah. And when you talk to vendors, when you talk to even friends sometimes, coworkers, and you bring up like, I have a venue tour today, they're like, is there something you're not telling me?
Right.
And it's confusing for people to do things out of order.
Right. Right.
But that being said, the catalyst of actually taking action was not only the date, but from that point on, we were like, okay, let's go look at rings. I feel like this is kind of a normal series of events. I don't know. I'm not in everybody's
mind. I think that's true. People have a conversation. Generally, yes, we both want to get married. I would like to help you pick out my ring, or I would like not to be surprised by something you pick out or whatever. Let's just go look. I think right. that is, if not typical, common.
Yeah. So then we did the thing where you go to the gigantic jewelry store and they take you to the most sparkly case and they're like, would you like champagne? And you're like, I'm good. It's like 11:30 in the morning. I mean, well, what? Actually, you know, I would do a mimosas, but I don't know. It was like, I don't know. I was like, not in the, I was just like, let's just see, you know,
you don't want to commit to the champagne. That.
It's like car shopping. You're like, I'm not going to look at you in the eye.
Yeah. You're like, don't offer me coffee. Next to me.
I do want you here, but I'll talk to you when I want to talk to you.
Yeah. So, you know, we did the big jewelry store thing. I couldn't believe, I feel like you go into like a state of just looking at all these rings and then all of a sudden 3 hours has gone by. What did we even look at? I don't know.
Yeah.
So that was not for us. I found a local jeweler who was recommended to us, who you could just tell he's an older man with just like such a passion for jewelry design and just like loves jewelry and just the intricacies. So we went to him, we worked on the design with him. And at the time that he texted us and said, it's going to be 2.5 rings before you see the design, not even get the ring. That's when Brent said, you can start booking those venue tours.
So
it was a little like kink in the road plan, or, you know, in the plan, but
that's the timeline. Basically, like once the ring is done, so you're going to be like, okay.
After we got the ring design back, I said, I'm okay. Like, this isn't exactly what we were looking for, but I'm kind of okay at this point in the process to step away. And like, you could just have communication with the jeweler at this point and move forward with the design. And like, I trust whatever comes out of this process. Like, I don't need to be so involved anymore. And he was like, well, maybe just stick around for this design round. And then maybe on the next round, like when we get the second iteration, then maybe he'll have me. So I don't know. I'm just kind of, I'm good. So
that's happening on one plane. What's happening with wedding planning now? You have the masterclass.
I have the masterclass. We did the priorities exercise. I created, which I don't know that you all talk about on the podcast, but I created a wedding specific email and wedding specific Pinterest because I have heard those tips.
We talk about it on the masterclass. I don't know that we've talked about it on the podcast.
That's okay. So yeah. I just gave a sneak.
You did.
A sneak taste.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's good. Those are really important tips, actually, that we don't mind saying. Like, once you start planning, create that Gmail address. It's like Michelle and Christy 2022 at gmail.com or whatever. So that all the wedding emails get funneled to that email address, and then you're not like getting spam after you're married.
Yeah. I thought at first when I made the email address, I felt a little weird about it.
Did you?
But once the emails started rolling in, I was like, no, this was the right call.
Yeah.
I mean, it just spirals from there. So I have all of that set up. That's been extremely helpful for setting up those vendor tours. I created the RFP.
Oh, good. This is all masterclass stuff, you guys.
Which I wasn't sure if I should do that for vendors, but I figured I'd just give it a go with whatever information I had.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right.
So we've set up 5 tours for different venues, and the venues are very different. Which is part of the starting the process this early, because I don't feel like even though I've listened to the design chapter, I was trying to find them. Yeah, design vision and style chapter. I don't feel like the venues are all over the board. I mean,
yeah, I have like a strong.
You can't get there yet because you don't know the venue. Totally, yeah. Totally.
So we've got a bunch of tours this weekend next, and then I'm going to be traveling for work for the following 4 weeks. So awesome. I'd really like to get all those vendor tours done before I get into this crazy season of work. And a lot of, I don't know what you guys are finding, but a lot of the venues the spring dates are filling up, I feel.
For 2022?
Yeah, for 2022. Sorry, yeah. 2021 is pretty booked.
What's the area?
Kansas City?
It's, yeah, it's going to be...
For, I mean, I think fall... It's, you know, fall and spring, there'll be a little bit more availability in the summer months because there always is. And then that's going to be, it's only so many weekends in a year.
That's another good point is I've been trying to encourage potentially off season because the next couple of years are going to be so crazy with weddings. A high priority for me is guest count and people being able to come and show up. And not that they won't, but I feel that there's going to be wedding conflicts in the next couple of years.
Yeah. Have you thought about winter?
Brent is so set on this
October.
Yeah. He wants October.
But I mean, there will be more conversations. We'll see, you know, what venues we fall in love with. And I think once he sees them in person, both of us, but maybe he'll be a little more flexible on date.
So what are your, like all of your friends? So this is what I'm trying to envision or get at. Like it totally sounds reasonable, by the way, to me that you guys know you're going to get married. Brent wants that October date next year. Like you are starting the planning and it totally makes sense. Like it makes complete sense because you know this is happening. Do you ever get any like, I don't know, I saw from your Instagram stories, for example, I think last week or the week before you were like hanging out with your parents and your sister, you know, are you guys talking about, are you telling them about your wedding planning? And are they ever like, when's the ring come? You know, like, do they ever make little comments?
So my parents were very involved in the ring process because we are using an heirloom diamond from my family, which was another kind of piece of the timeline puzzle because they're long distance. So they had to overnight mail it. It was a whole rigmarole. So they're very aware of the ring situation and they even have talked to the jeweler on the phone, like, because of the heirloom diamond situation. So I don't know, we'd have to ask them, but I don't think they think I think in the beginning, for sure, both sets of parents were like, you're not engaged though. Like, where's the ring? You know, but at this point and the amount of conversations we had, it's not weird anymore. And I actually created a PowerPoint presentation of the venues because I had a really long list of venues and I showed them to my dad and my mom. But my dad, like, I feel like many dad, maybe others could relate. It's just like the attention, you know, I mean, it might not be the topic of conversation that, you know, keeps them engaged. So I just felt like with my mom, we can just talk on and on and on about this stuff. But with my dad, I wanted to make this presentation to have it very focused and be like, take a look at these venues. These are the price points. What do you think of this? Because I really want them to be involved. And this gets into being apart from your family while wedding planning. So this was my way. One of the ways that I'm planning on keeping them involved is going to be through PowerPoint presentations, which is a very type A Lindsay thing, but.
It's great. I love it. It's very organized. I love it. And visuals are important. You know, I think a lot of times when we're planning our weddings and we're communicating with parents, there's that weird, like, you're not understanding what I'm telling you, like this miscommunication and then that friction. And then there's arguments and like, this is more like, here are the photos. Here's what we like. Here's what we don't. Here are the dates. Like, what do you think? And they're like, okay. I see. I get it.
Yeah. So, 'cause sometimes parents start to ask questions and they sound a lot like, why do we need that?
Right.
Why do you need that flowers like that on the door? Why do you need that? And then it's like, well, 'cause I told you they have this weird elevator shaft that I need to put a curtain in front of, like, you're trying to describe something and like, but why, but how much is that going to cost that we need that? So if they're helping to pay, they have questions and they have opinions and you have to take all that into account. If they're not, then you're just trying to share with them. And like Michelle said, sometimes parents offer, that this was in another conversation, Michelle, when you were like, how your dad or your mom might be like giving you solutions when you're like, I don't actually have a problem. It's not a problem. I'm just sharing with you the information. And they're like, well, what you need to do is.
Yeah. That's things that my dad does. I'm familiar with. So what do you think is like crazy about wedding planning? Or do you think anything's crazy about wedding planning?
Yeah, or like surprising.
If I learned anything from the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, and I feel like the new Netflix series, The Wedding Coach,
yeah,
talks a lot about this too, is the difficult conversations that need to be had. And I think, as we were saying, getting family members, especially potential investors or otherwise, keeping them involved in the process early on can kind of potentially curtail some of those more difficult conversations down the line. If you just all of a sudden come out of nowhere with an issue or a challenge and they have no context of where is this wedding, who's coming, like I haven't even seen a guest list, just like setting those expectations. So that's something that's really important to me, not only with your family, but with your bridal party, which is a whole nother conversation. But
do you have a wedding party? Are you having a wedding party?
So Brent has four. He has three very close friends, and it's just like, it's a no-brainer for him.
Yeah.
That for me is a small number.
Okay. You have like so many.
It's going to be a challenge. I asked Brent if maybe we could not have the bridal party, or I feel like during my research and many conversations, trends are starting to maybe move away from bridal party. I don't know. I'd like to hear from you all what you think on the bridal party trend or wedding party.
Yeah.
Trends.
I think that I like I've said before, like actually my wedding, I have a wedding coming up September. They actually have a wedding party, but like most of my weddings don't have wedding parties anymore, you know? And if they do, they're either super small or they're very mixed, girls and guys, like all, like not even, nobody cares about that. But I will say that it does leave room for a lot of drama when you have a wedding party. Like it just does. And it's hard when you have a lot of friends, like, or siblings. I don't know what in your case, if it's siblings, cousins, friends, like, I mean, that's my case. Like I've got a lot of siblings. I got a lot of cousins. I got a lot of friends. Like it would be so hard now getting married for me to choose, like so hard. And so I don't know. I feel like there's something to be said for like not having a wedding party, but then having people who are like honored to, you know, that you're somebody that like go to be with me the morning of, or like, let's go have a party or whatever it is. But I don't know. It seems like I can already see in your face, like that's going to be an issue.
Well, she's been a bridesmaid 7 times. Yeah, so
that too.
That's 7 friends who might be expecting like, you know, a minimum.
Lindsay.
And I also do many weddings that opt not to have one at all, but there's the two ways of making that decision. And one of them is like the, let's say the more positive way of like, we just don't want one. We're cool and modern. And like, it's just not, it was never in our vision. So we're going to go with that. And then there's the, well, I would have one, but there's all these barriers. So I'm just going to, I find it easier just to scrap the whole thing. I don't love that option, but it's easier to not have one than to like deal with it. So it's a negative decision-making. You're choosing not to, in order to avoid the things that come with it, even though some good also comes with a wedding party. And I think traditional weddings are still having big wedding parties, and younger couples and, you know, every Catholic wedding I've been to for the last 10 years, whether it's mine or I'm a guest, has a big wedding party. They just, you know, the wedding I'm doing in California later that I've talked about, a couple, you know, it was no question. As soon as this family reached out to me, I've worked with them before, I was like, oh, minimum 5 and 5 minimum. And I think she's 7 and 7, I think. But it's like, that's just part of their, that's part of the culture. That's part of the expectation. There's no question. But I will say that after, like, I'm 10 years, 11, 12 years into being married, and I'm trying to loosely plan my 40th birthday party for next year, just because I want to do something big. And just the idea of me being like, and I've brought it up to my husband, like, we should just rent a house and invite all our friends and they'll just come to the house. And then he's like, well, which friends? And I'm like, oh yeah. Cause like there's these friends and then there's that friend whose husband, you know, and maybe they're not going to get along with that. And then there's those friends that all know each other. There are some friends that, you know, you could throw them into any group and they would be fine and they would not cause trouble. And they would not be like, I want the room with the V, like, what, you know, whatever. They would just be like, she's coming, she's great. Hey, have you met my mom? Like, there's just people mesh, and your wedding is kind of maybe one of the only times of your whole life that you're actually hoping in a wedding party, you're expecting like my cousins, my siblings, my friends, my college friend, my future, my work friend, everybody's going to wear the dress, get their hair done, get along, come to my bachelorette. Like, it's a kind of a lot for a group of adults.
Yeah. That
generally don't all know each other already.
Absolutely.
This episode of the Big Wedding Planning Podcast is sponsored by Suit Shop.
We love you, Suit Shop.
We love you so much.
We want all the suits.
I want the white one. I want the black one. I want the navy one. Suit Shop is an all-inclusive brand of suits and tuxedos. They're very high quality. They fit really, really well, and they look amazing, and they're comfortable.
They're comfortable. They are for men. They are for women. So you don't have to like try and figure out your sizing and men's sizing if you're going to buy a women's suit and, you know, all the measurements and all that. They're already ready to go. They also have suits for kids.
They're for anybody. Anybody.
Anybody. I see what you did there.
You see the anybody. They are super affordable. They fit right. I've always said there is nothing worse than an ill-fitting suit. And I am correct.
You are correct. It will ruin the wedding photos if the suits don't fit well. So get yourself a great suit from Suit Shop. They are offering our listeners a 10% discount off their already low prices for any suit or tuxedo. Suitshop.com. And the promo code is BIGWEDDING10. Big Wedding 10 for 10% off.
Thank you, Suit Shop.
I'm not in the business of ranking friends. That's what I think I wanted to say. And I'm really interested in reinventing the whole wedding party model. Not so much on Brent's side, but at least for my side, you have, to Christy's point, different friends who fit different roles in your life, and they're all equally important and they all serve you in different ways. And I just know I'm going to have certain friends that are going to be like, I would love to get my nails done with you before the wedding, and other friends that have no interest in that. But those other friends, they might love to like hear your, like, maybe I would like work on my vows with them, or maybe they would want to do a reading, or there's a lot of places to help in a wedding. And I think we can find ways to involve everyone and just strengthen those connections in a healthy way, because also being a bridesmaid is a huge job. And I don't know if it's these days or all days, but I want to say these days, because I was researching, and I know we had that recent Instagram live where I wrote this in the comments, but that Wedding Wire had done a survey in, I think it was 2017, which is actually quite a few years ago, that the average cost of being a bridesmaid is $1,200.
Yeah.
And frankly, I think that could be on the low end.
Yeah.
Just based on my experiences. I don't know that a lot of brides realize, maybe they do, I don't know if they realize the amount they are asking. And I think we can spread that out a little bit, spread out the love.
Well, we had that's so true. And we had that one listener, Christy, I think we read on the podcast on a Yawa, where she was like, I put together like a checklist of things and like sent it out to my girls, like to my crew. Like you could do like a sign up genius and be like,
to empower listen, them. How do right. you want to,
you tell me what you want to be a part of. Here's all the shit. And I don't expect y'all to spend $1,200 on my wedding. So you tell me what you want to do, put your name in the slot. And yeah. this is awesome. Like, and I think that's great.
Yeah. And in spreading out the love or the finances, you spread those out. There are, you know, a number of pre-party situations that come sometimes with this. And I don't love that the burden or the obligation is, hey, maid of honor, it's your job to throw me a bachelorette and also host the shower. Like you're hosting them, you're planning
so
them.
Much.
And you're also going to have to be there. You have seven people standing on your side. Maybe three of them want to Vegas it up and they're not going to be awkward and weird about wearing penis crowns and doing what you want to do. Maybe four of them are like, I'm more of a brunch with your mom kind of right. like chick.
Yeah.
I'd rather do that. Why, you know, make it obligatory to do both? Or like, if you don't, which I know some people deal with, if you don't do one, I'm going to like give you a guilt trip kind
yeah,
of.
You're
or
such
that's
a
like
bitch.
Expected. Because I think we also have to be honest with ourselves when we're putting together a wedding party, if you decide to do that. And this is not just advice for you, but with anyone, your relationship with your cousin. Oh, we were so close when we were growing up. We were like sisters. I have all these great memories. Have you hung out with her in the last 10 years? Like as an adult, maybe not. Maybe she's got, you know, three kids and lives five states away and your lives have just gone in different directions. You have to be honest about the timeline of some of these friendships. I know so many brides who have had old friends, like high school friends on their side, and the wedding could pretty much be the date on a calendar that you could say, and that was the last time I hung out with that person. Yeah. Like I had her in my wedding. She had me in hers. We got this great picture. We're not friends anymore. Like we were kind of not friends anymore even at that point, but I invited her because I felt like I should, or it was expected, or because she invited me. And I think that's awkward. I think it's awkward to have anybody around you and you're like VIP group on your wedding day that you're not like, that you couldn't come out of the shower, you know, butt ass naked and be like, you guys, does my bikini line look crooked? Like some, you should have friends that are going to be like, yeah, you missed a spot. Not any friends that make you like, I don't even know. I can't even say bad words around this friend, you know,
I don't
whatever.
Feel like you've ever asked me about your bikini line, by the way.
Yeah, probably not. But we don't spend a lot of time like getting ready together. It's just like, it's that comfort level.
Well, when we travel, will you
change.
Show it to me?
You won't even go to the bathroom in our hotel room when we travel together. You know what I'm getting at, Lindsay. I'm saying like there's different types of friends. And you're right that there needs to be like a rewriting of the whole wedding party expectations, because different friends, you don't always want to hang out with
yeah.
your friend from elementary school that grew up next to you. You know, maybe they're not the Vegas type or whatever. You have to recognize where friendships are and who you want around you, who makes you feel like the best version of yourself. That's the truth. Like who in your group of friends makes you feel like the best version of yourself? Cause that's who you want in your close proximity orbit on your wedding day.
Yeah.
I think people are like tormented a little bit by this decision. Like there's no right way. You're going to let somebody down somehow. Sucks.
Yeah. I like you're going to let somebody down, but you also might be dragging someone along for the ride. I mean, it's not, there's been times where my mom has said in my life, why not say no to being a bridesmaid? Primarily financial, because my mom's very good at, you know, sticking to the budget situation. So it's not really, I feel like you all have talked about this. It's been talked about that you, like people say you can say no. I mean, how often does that happen? Who says no? Who is asked to be a bridesmaid? And then you're like, I don't know. Maybe I'll be a guest. Like, so
You feel like such an asshole for saying no, right? Like, you're just like, I can't say no. How do I say no to this?
So that being said, I think the point I'm trying to make and what I wanted to say was, as brides and grooms and anyone involved in planning a wedding, I think we just need to think about why we're doing what we're doing with everything. Why do we need bridesmaids? I mean, I don't even like that there's the word maid in there. Yeah. I think I'm going to stick to best babes or something.
Attendance. What? Oh, best babes.
Yeah, your crew, your VIPs.
And then there's the keeping it gender neutral, but I think babe could be gender neutral. I mean, I call Brent babe. So.
I call my husband babe.
So babe. Yeah. I don't like that immediately off the bat, you're a maid.
Right. It's diminutive.
You're made to spend money on my wedding.
Yeah.
Why are your friends there? Why are we asking them? Is it literally to be your maid? Do you need help? I mean, we do need help. We know that. And that's where we get back to this task list and maybe, you know, spreading the love, spreading out the help. But also how I'm answering this question is, I want to celebrate my love with Brent, with my friends, and also thank them for being there and supporting us and hopefully supporting us in our future. I was a bridesmaid in this one wedding where the officiant sat us down before the wedding and said, this is a big responsibility. You're standing up there saying you support this marriage. That's a big deal. Like, think about that for a minute. And I'll never forget that moment because I felt the weight of what I was doing there. It's important. It's important. And I know we get into the details and the fun stuff, the flowers and the napkins, but at the end of the day, we're there to be married.
And supporting a marriage is different than just supporting your friend. Like, the marriage is like the third of that trio. There's you, there's your husband, and there's the marriage. There's three of you. Like, if it is its own entity. And a lot of people forget about it completely when wedding planning. But I think you're right that when you're asking not just your wedding party, but also the guests that are going to be there, many, many couples could stand to be a little more deliberate about who they're inviting and why. And would you ever lean on that person in a time of crisis in your marriage or confusion or, you know, a low point? We talk about like the highs and lows and through sickness and in health and all that stuff. But everybody that you have there is witnessing your marriage. They love you. You hope they love your partner and that they will support this journey because it is different. It is difficult sometimes. So I think everyone could stand to ask themselves a couple more like why questions when putting together the people part of this puzzle.
Well, just like Lindsay asked her 100 questions before getting engaged.
We didn't finish the book yet.
Okay. Well, let's say 50.
Maybe that's why we're not.
And then your notebook that you had when you went and had the discussion. I mean, the communication is key. It all comes back to communication. And I love how you want to like reinvent the wedding party. I feel like this is something everybody should do. This should be a movement because it really can. The sources of stress for a wedding are, number one, it's always somebody in the wedding party. Number two, it's mom. Number three, it's budget. Like, I feel like those are like top three, right, Christy?
Mm-hmm. We answer so many emails about wedding party stuff.
Actually, not just mom, parents, because I would actually tie divorced parents.
Yeah,
on like,
parents, parental,
you know,
units.
Into their parents. Yeah. Damn it, people.
Well, I loved what Christy said about being intentional about who you're inviting to the wedding, because that kind of brings me to my next wedding planning challenge. I've got about 175 on the list, so I'm only touring venues. Actually, that's not true. Today, we are about to tour a venue that we would have to do a little chopping.
Mm-hmm.
Brent said, no problem. Give me that list. I'm gonna cut that sucker down. So now is the time for people to start sucking up to Brent. To guess.
Oh. You know, a venue with constraints like that, I think, can be a very helpful tool in prioritizing things. Suddenly, maybe a whole little cohort of people that you were like, oh, they have to be there, is like, you know, maybe they don't have to be there. We could definitely have happy hour with, there's no reason why we can't hang out with these people after a wedding just because they didn't witness it in person.
It's talked a lot about how those percentages of the people that won't come, but you can't bank on that when you book the venue. Like, you can't invite 200 people to a 150 person venue.
No.
Right? You can't do that, right?
No, you may not. Do not.
I'm only a little bit kidding.
Don't push it.
Lindsay, you've heard us enough and you have the Big Wedding Masterclass. So, Big Wedding Planning Masterclass. Good, good, good. Well, I really wanted to, or we wanted to have you on and just chit chat about this, because we over the years have heard from so many listeners, Lindsay, that are like, I love you guys. I love your show. I'm not even engaged yet, but I'm listening because I want to get tips now because I know how much work this wedding planning is going to be. And it makes complete sense. If you know you're on that path, if you know you're going to be getting engaged, like, dude, getting a head start is great because there's so much.
Yeah. And also we wanted to pick your brain because we are older than you.
No, I'm not.
We sit behind the microphone and do this podcast and we've done 260 episodes, you know, so many episodes, and we're in very close contact with the listeners who want to interact with us. And that's great. But you represent like an age group and, you know, you're a young professional. Are you a millennial? Are you in that group? Yeah. So it's just solid. I was born in 82 and I know like there's my generation is like a, you know, sliver of something in there. Cause I'm like an elder millennial. I don't think I count as a millennial just by like a year or two though. So anyways, you are who's listening. And we want to make sure that like, we're checking in, you're a representative of your demographic, because we're checking in about like, we think some things should be, oh, this is going to be confusing for people, or not enough people are thinking about this, but like, we don't want to just project our like understanding of this. It's good to talk to somebody like in the trenches, like you, that is like about to embark on this great, awesome journey of wedding planning, but you're doing it in a certain way and you want to be informed and you're like hungry for it all. And so we want to talk to you to make sure that we know like what is surprising, what is shitty, what is actually kind of easy, and maybe we're emphasizing too much. So it's good. We'll just have to
check in with,
yeah, we'll have to keep checking in with
Lindsay.
One thing I would say that that made me think of is, I know a lot of people have been saying that with COVID, there's this resurgence of more relaxed, maybe a lower budget, smaller weddings. Where are these weddings? I don't feel like...
People's backyards.
I mean, maybe...
Your parents' backyards, that's where they are.
Definitely, of course, during COVID, and that is the type of wedding that I was the maid of honor for, and it was amazing. I loved it so much, just like everybody who attends and participates. I mean, I've never heard a negative thing said about a backyard wedding. They are just so beautiful.
Yeah.
But I still feel this crazy pressure for the big thing, the one on TV, whatever. And I mean, I hear it from friends too. I mean, it's a little bit of a mix. I feel like people feel like they can do their own thing, but I think, I don't know. I just feel like the pressure is really there. I don't think it's going away because of COVID. I think if anything, there's this like resurgence.
Does it seem attainable? Does it feel attainable?
Depending on each individual's financial status. I feel very blessed. I mean, but also I'm not trying to just, I was very intrigued by the $100,000 wedding episode, mm-hmm. because that's not me. I mean, I don't want to just spend money on a wedding to spend money on a wedding. But my point is, there's still social media. There's still primarily, I feel like Instagram. Those things aren't going away because of COVID.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So I just feel like the pressures are still there. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm folding or giving into them. I'm more speaking from a listener base, someone in the trenches, that everything that Christy just said, that's what I like. If I'm just being honest, I mean, I think we would all like, I'm embarrassed to even say it, because like I would love to say, oh, I feel no societal pressure, right? Like, but no.
But no, I do feel it.
But that's what's great about the podcast. It encourages people. I mean, that is what makes it so, I mean, for me, addictive. Like, I want to listen to every episode. The two of you are so encouraging just to really, you know, follow your own path in this process and try not to look at, you know, the comparison trap or whatever it is. I think you guys do a really great job of encouraging your listeners to be themselves.
Thank you. Good. We want that. That's what we want.
Yeah. We don't want to ignore that there's a crazy industrial machine behind all of this. We're in it, but we hope to remind people to stay grounded. And a big part of that is because we're both married. We know that like the whole best, most important day of your life, like it's just not, we're in this long enough. Like we're some, like we've been married for 50 years. It's not like that, but like we've been married long enough to know, like there is no best, most important day. Every day you choose to be married. Like you do. And a wedding is a great party. That's what it should be. That's what you should plan. That's what you should experience. And that's what you should remember. Man, that was a great party. Like we really got to celebrate this with our people.
I had so much fun at my wedding.
Yeah. I had so much fun at my wedding. I would do it again. Let's do it again. Like, you know, it's a party. The marriage is far more complex and dynamic and rewarding, all of those things. And that's made up of a million little moments. You know, it will test you in a way that wedding planning won't, in bigger ways. So we don't want anybody to like freak out about wedding planning, because that's kind of a red flag. Like if you're letting wedding planning really like wind you up, you know, guess what? There's like even bigger things that happen after that. So
yeah, knock that off.
Yeah. Stay grounded. Like keep your eye on the prize.
Yeah. My point was just that the reminders I feel are still needed. COVID, no COVID, pandemic, no pandemic.
Yeah.
The pressures are still there. They're still real. And people are still battling them in the trenches, as you said.
Yeah, so, we see that. We hear that.
All right, but lady.
I'm having a blast. And the masterclass is also a blast. It only adds to the fun, for sure. I feel like it's super fun.
Good. Yay.
But I gotta love that masterclass.
Too. That reminds me, I have to tell you, we're going to put together a Zoom for all the masterclass users, so that we can get on with all of you and just like talk and answer questions and like just share. We'll just share. But yeah.
I think listeners haven't experienced the masterclass yet, they may see it as something you just like kind of a box checking, like you watch a video and then you move on to the next video. It is a resource for the entire timeline. I will probably be rewatching those videos the week of. I mean, it's not something you just do in a weekend and it's, you know, put away in your closet. I mean, granted, this is digital, but it's something you're gonna reference regularly. It's your best friend. It's like, it's your wedding planner. That's what it is. And yeah. I mean, to be able to have access to your wedding planner 24/7, I haven't had one yet, but I don't think that you get that with a human being. I mean, you can't just call them at midnight. If you wake up stressed about your wedding, you could just log on to the masterclass and hear Michelle and Christy and be like, okay, we got this.
We never sleep in the masterclass.
Never sleep.
All right. Well, I gotta go, but this was fun. It was good connecting with you. Thank you for sharing with everybody, Lancey. And we'll be in touch.
Thank you both.
Thanks.
Our pleasure. Bye. Thank you, Lindsay. Bye.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Christy Matthews, and Michelle Martinez.
It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. If you like the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, please subscribe. We are available for free on pretty much all podcast player apps. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
Follow us on Instagram at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast and be sure to use the hashtag #PlanThatWedding when posting. Become part of our Facebook group. Join us and our amazing members. Just search the Big Wedding Planning Podcast community on Facebook. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 415-723-1625 and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Christy, love you, love your show.
Bye.